John chapter 1, let's dig in. Let's praise God. It was just up to date on Simeon. He's doing really good. Thank you for your prayers and concerns. And it's been a month, really, since we dropped him off last. And the guys were telling me, you're going to like what you see. You're going to like the progress. And we certainly did. Having him over the house yesterday, we only had a few hours, you know, just to hear the stuff coming out of his mouth that is more oriented towards the Lord and wanting to know his will and desiring more of God. And very evident. A month ago, we saw that turning point. There was a breaking here, and it was just a lot of emotions going on, a lot of tears, and the Spirit of God moving. But it was an intense spiritual battle that nothing like it that I've experienced before in the spiritual. And for such a duration, I was exhausted at the end of that week. There was such an intense spiritual battle for his soul and to get on track. And I see the fruit of that now, and I see, but just, wow, man, in dreams at night and just like not being able to sleep, and then this powerful outpourings of the Spirit where we're just like on the floor crying and stuff going on is just incredible. And now I see the fruit of that was this more peaceful visit this time, sense the Spirit of God, and the struggle is amazing. It really is. And you could see that, like, whatever's coming on him, the spiritual attack coming on him, and you could see him just run to the Word. I mean, literally run to the Bible and grab a hold of it and start reading it with all of his strength and all of his heart. And just that battle going on and the outpouring and God responding when he did that. Amazing. I got the overflow of that as he's like in the Word and he's crying out to God and he's believing on it. And I'm just getting the overflow of what's happening. And I'm in tears and on the ground. And just it's just amazing. Amazing to be part of that. It's exhausting, though. The spiritual battle is extremely intense in some of these situations. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We have an opportunity to go there July 10th. It's a Monday night teen challenge. Do some music and Word. We have an hour there. So we're looking forward to that. Coming up here. Camp Gregory is coming up August 27th into Labor Day. And it's a blank slate right now, right? Any of the youth group people interested, or do you think that's...
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit? Okay. All right. Oh, good. Good. They'll be here before we know it. I know that much. All right, John chapter 1. Starting again here. John chapter 1, we're picking up in verse 35 today. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. Now, John the Baptist and John are different, of course, in this book, so we need to clarify that. John had his own disciples. Some people don't realize that, but John the Baptist would have his own disciples. Having disciples, especially back then, was not a strange thing. And sometimes we think, oh, that was all Jesus, and it was something unique to Jesus, when it wasn't. Having disciples and teachers, that's how you got your education for the most part. You didn't go to university or whatever unless you were the highfalutin. This would be how somebody would learn. You would find a rabbi and you would follow that rabbi for a given period of time. And that's how it went. And John the Baptist was considered that. He was considered a great teacher and a leader. And he would have disciples. And here's two of them here in verse 35. His disciples, one of these is Andrew, the other we think is John, doesn't really mention. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now he's with his disciples and he's saying, he's pointing to Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist is doing exactly what he's been called to do, what his life is all about, and that's to point to Jesus. I promise to cover one more person that gives testimony to their encounter with Jesus and what they've been called to, and that was Anna. So we'll go back to Luke chapter 2 real quick. Last week we talked about Simeon and the character in the Bible. And his whole life revolved around that promise that he had from God that one day he would behold the Savior. I'm not sure if he knew it would be in an infant form. Maybe he did. It's not really clear, but he did recognize the Christ and as he was coming into the temple, Mary and Joseph bringing him in. And Simeon says, "I could die now." In other words, I've lived my life purpose to hold this baby Jesus, to hold the baby Jesus, to behold him, behold his salvation in his arms. And then also to prophesy over Mary, Joseph. Awesome, awesome. And that brought me a great refreshing healing of just like our life could be just that one day. Your whole life be defined by one day. That God has put you on this earth for one particular day. Isn't that humbling to think about? It's cool too. I just love it. I love that thought. It takes away from the worldly thinking of like, oh, my life has to be some kind of empire I build, and every day is, you know, part of a piece in that empire. You know, it has nothing to do with that. You know, God could have us down here for the smallest tiny detail to reach out and hold somebody, you know, in a moment or something like that. And that could be the purpose of our life for that day. Because this life is like it's a wisp of smoke. It's grass that's in the morning and it's dry in the afternoon. It's dried out. It's spent. It's just a brief moment here. And so this brief moment of Simeon is very refreshing to me. Anna, the same way. And that picks up in verse 36. So just like John the Baptist has a testimony, a great calling, these people did as well. So I wanted to contrast that and make us think a little bit along those lines. And there is one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel. Women have great callings in the body of Christ, and one of those callings is to prophesy, to be a prophetess, to speak the things of God, to share the things of God. The daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. I've heard prophecy come out of women so many times in this little tiny fellowship. Whether they're just reading out of scripture, you know, sharing out of scripture, or something comes out, maybe in a dream, or just whatever God is moving in their heart so many times. And it's an awesome thing to see the body of Christ being alive in that fashion. Of the tribe of Asher. Didn't think you'd get mentioned today, Asher. There he is. So Anna can trace her line all the way back to the tribe of Asher. Did we say the name Asher? Yeah, we covered that. All right. Oh, by the way. No. I just want to tell an Asher story real quick. Since his name is right there, I mean, come on.
I have to spell out words so he doesn't
get it. Oh, okay. All right. Maybe I better not. Something naughty. Okay. The tribe of Asher, she was of a great age. And she lived her whole life. She didn't have that day yet. She didn't have that one day that would fulfill her life. That was why she was on this earth. Didn't happen yet. And she's a ripe old age. Some might think, well, you know, my life is spent. What happened to it? I'm useless. And hold on. Until God calls you home, just believe in the Lord and follow Him. So she was of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. A lot long of her life was just living as a widow and only married 7 years. So kind of almost a sad story, it would seem. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. There's the testimony of Anna, even simpler and more condensed than Simeon's. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise. This is when Jesus appeared in the temple. Gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all of them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Anna's life, again, like Simeon's, now she could go to heaven. She had fulfilled her calling. She was a prophetess. Amen. Awesome. I love that. I love those two testimonies of Simeon and Anna. They challenge me in my, especially being, you know, sometimes get it caught up in the illusions of the grandeur. Like, my life has to be important. I have to be recognized. And, you know, sometimes we feel that way. We want to be significant. There is significance right there. Beholding the Lamb of God. And that's what, back in John chapter 1, verse 36, that's exactly what John said. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Take a look. There he is. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Uh-oh, he lost part of his class. John the Baptist lost part of his class going to follow Jesus. No problem there. In fact, John the Baptist would say, I must decrease and he must increase. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? What seek ye? So this is part of our teaching today, part A, which is discipleship. About discipleship today. And part A is, what are you seeking? What seek ye? Anybody have a different translation there for verse 38 for that question?
What do you seek?
Yeah, that's what that says.
Some might say, what do you want? What are you looking for? Different translation, same idea. What seek ye? What are you looking for? What are you searching for? This is discipleship part A. And the first two disciples encountered here are Andrew and probably John that wrote this gospel. But his name is not mentioned. He won't mention his name in any of this. So he'll just kind of refer to this generic person, and sometimes that's probably him, we assume. It's good to watch the Master because he's called us to do the same. It's good to watch what Jesus did in bringing disciples into his group because we're called to do the same. That's the Great Commission. So why not study how he did it? I don't want to give you 10 points on how to make disciples and go out in the world according to Paul Myers. I want to see how Jesus did it. And his first encounter with these two disciples was, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And I've asked that question to people out on the street before. What's going on? What are you searching for? I've discerned that's what, there's something going on. They're trying to seek something out. There's something going on in their life. What are you searching for? What are you looking for? Great question. Great way to begin reaching out to someone to make a disciple. We hear this question quite often, maybe not from street evangelists, but when we go shopping, drive-through windows or department stores, somebody will come up to you and say, what are you looking for? Can I help you? What are you searching for? So we hear this question quite a bit. You could try this to answer them next time they ask you. Next time you pull up to a drive-thru and you're asked the question, what seek ye? You can answer Galatians 6:14. Gretchen shared this last night at prayer meeting. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What are you searching for? How about Philippians 1:21? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Great answer to the drive-thru person. How about one more? Galatians 2:20. What are you searching for? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we can't forget this one. Matthew 6:33. What are you searching for? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. We will see people that want to follow Christ, but not in the fullest sense. Jesus will refer to these people as having two masters. He will point out that this is living a lie because you cannot have two masters. The altar call for these two men, Andrew and probably John here, begins with a voice crying out in the wilderness, John the Baptist, baptizing with water, a baptism of repentance from sin and sinful ways, all to prepare the way to receive this Jesus who brings life. Discipleship is about bringing life to people, bringing them to Jesus, who is the life. I seek life. What seek ye? Not life as in health, not life as in wealth, not life as in adventure, not life as in accomplishment, not life as in recognition, not life as in insurance, life insurance, and security. The life that I seek is not a thing, but a person. What do you seek? What would your answer be? For Andrew and the other, it would be, where are you going? Where are you staying? And that's in verse 38 there. They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Teacher, where are you staying? We're going there. My life, our life is going to be found in His life. Where are you staying, Jesus? Where are you going? What's the direction here, Lord God? My life is going to be found in His life, where He lives, where He is, and where He goes. Listen to this again in that context. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Where do you live, Lord? Where do you live? What are you searching for? In response to what are you searching for, Lord, where are you? That's where my life is. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The response of Jesus is one stepping beyond seeing. The question of Jesus is one challenging us to step beyond seeing. And He says that in verse 39, come and see. Come and see. He says unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where He dwelt and abode there with Him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. Come and see is speaking to faith. It is speaking to faith. It's great to talk about and say, hey, you got to have faith in Jesus to get saved, and we're saved by faith. Well, let me see what that looks like. Play it out. What does that look like in an interchange? What's spoken? What's said? What's done? And here we see it. It's just played right out for us, right before our eyes, what faith in Jesus is all about. It's to come and see. And it's not to see, then come. It's like, you know, tell me what's, you guys report back to me, and then maybe I'll join. Now that's seeing, then going. This is going and then seeing. That's what faith is about. That's what our salvation hinges on, is that trusting in Jesus Christ, is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as we are, and then to see His beauty, to see His wisdom, to see His truth unfold before us. So they came and saw, it says there in verse 39, saw where He dwelt, where the Lord lives. No description of what it is all about. He says, start walking and then see. A response of faith. Listen to this verse again in that light. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live is Christ and to die is gain. That is following the Lord Jesus Christ and then seeing as you do. How about Ruth 1:16, a favorite one? Powerful, powerful, powerful verse. Ruth, a Moabitess, just a pagan, just amazing to hear this beautiful thing come out of someone that had that heart response to God. Ruth 1, verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. I don't want to go back home, even though that's the place of comfort and security. For where you go, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. That's a complete abandonment. That's going and then seeing. She has no idea what that means. She has no idea what that with Boaz, what that's going to entail, with the gleanings and all the stuff that went on with that. She has no idea of the story. She didn't get to read it, chapter 2 and 3 and 4. Like we do right here. She has no idea. It's a blank slate before. She just feels called to go for God. God, I want to be where You're at. That's where life is at. So that's part A of discipleship. A simple question. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? What seek ye? Come and see. Verses 40 through 42, this is discipleship part B. Who are ye? What seek ye? Now who are ye? Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You guys didn't know Peter had a brother, did you? There he is. He doesn't get mentioned too much. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Peter has a lot of yardage in the scripture. Andrew here, of course, having a very important part in his life. Not to take away from what all of came about with Peter, but what if Andrew was never here? What if Andrew didn't have that day where he introduced his brother to the Lord? Maybe Peter would have kept fishing and you would never have seen anything of Peter. So let's not leave that significance there. Andrew bringing Simon Peter to Jesus. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You guys might not realize this, but Simeon, also this Simon and Simeon are basically the same name, how he brought Maddie to the Lord. And some people don't realize that. They see Maddie reaching out to his brother now during the time in his life. But way back early on, the tables were reversed, completely reversed. Simeon was on fire for the Lord. There was a point in his life where he was going to Israel to die for Jesus. He believed he was going to die there and get martyred. He thought that's what it was all about. And he didn't care. He was ready to die and go to Israel. Completely on fire for the Lord. And during that time is when he did this. He brought his brother to Jesus. What if that never happened? Would there have been people reached in Haiti? Would there have been a youth group going on now? And these things that are happening now. So all that scriptural yardage that we see of Peter and that we enjoy and we delight in, here's it all hinges on this little thing here. Andrew bringing his brother to Jesus. Very cool. I love it. He first findeth his own brother Simon and says unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We have found the Messiah, the one that's been promised all along. That is not a small little piece of news to tell somebody. not at all. We found a good church. That's not what we're talking about here. We found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. What an exciting thing. And he brought him. You can underline that. Andrew bringing his brother to Jesus. Right there that's Andrew's. That's it for Andrew right here. And it just because there isn't five books attached to it doesn't mean it's not significant. It's huge. You can underline that. He brought him to Jesus. So you get to meet Andrew someday and you say, hey, I know verse 42 there. You brought Peter to Jesus. God bless you, man. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, I love that. Jesus beheld him. There's a lot of that in the scripture where Jesus kind of just beholding someone, just taking a look at them and loving them by looking at them before he even says anything, just beholding them. I love that about our Lord. I was thinking about that last night in prayer meeting. It's just like, I'm so easily distracted. And I got one of those HD brains. I didn't realize what it was until they started defining it out there. It's going all over the place all the time. I'm so easily distracted. And just the Lord just grabbing my chin gently and beholding me and wanting me to calm down and breathing peace on me and just wanting me to spend time in his presence without thinking about a million things. So I love that. Jesus beholding us. Beholding us. He wants to do that right now with us. He beheld him and he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted a stone. That's stone. So this is discipleship part B. We're seeing discipleship, what you've been called, what I've been called to do, roll out from the master, the grand teacher, Jesus himself. What seek you? What are you searching for? We're connecting with people that are searching out there. Also, we're connecting here with people that don't have an identity. Well, that's everyone that's outside of Christ. They have maybe some label that's been put on them from the world or whatever it is, but they don't have an identity as far as God is. They're not known. They're going to stand before the Lord someday and say, I don't know you, but I have this title. I did all these things. Well, I don't know you. So here's our identity. Such an important thing for discipleship. Who are you? Who are ye? So Simon Peter is the one that comes into this part. Andrew and John, the first part of it, what seek ye? Now, Simon Peter, the second part, who are ye? Healthy sheep beget sheep. That means they reproduce. Sick sheep don't reproduce. typically. Healthy sheep beget sheep. They reproduce and you get a big sheep farm. You just drive out whatever that road is out there and you can see a lot of sheep. The Todd Farm? What's the name of that road? I forget. Healthy sheep beget sheep. We reach others out of our own finding life in Him. Did these guys have all their doctrine and all the answers of creation to the end of the world neatly squared away? Absolutely not. No, they met Jesus. Andrew met Jesus. He simply met Him. He recognized Him as the Messiah, as the life giver, and he's sharing that with his brother. Don't be turned away by the fact that you can't answer the question of why there's suffering in the world. And you can't answer why Job had to go through what he went and what the 12 tribes of Israel are all about and what the 144,000 are all about. All of these things. Don't let that stop you from reaching others with the life that you've been given. That's simply all God is asking you to do, is the life that He's put in you, share that light with other people. Andrew met Jesus and found Him to be life. And that life was a light that shined in his heart, the glory of God. And he's simply sharing that now with Peter. Not bringing others because of a church program or bring your friend to church Sunday, although we could probably use that here. It was a natural progression of their following Jesus to invite others. It would be kind of odd to tell people to come and follow Jesus if your own heart is not wrapped up in following the Lord. Who are you? From Simon to stone. From Simon to stone. His birth name and the meaning it had, his earthly ties to stone. Just to stability. Speaking to the stability. Names are significant. They are significant. The name of Jesus, especially in chapter 1, is being introduced to us here. Jesus is the Word of God, the Word that became flesh, the Word that was with God, and the Word that was God. The name of Jesus speaks to an exclusive, specific person. The name of Jesus isn't just using the name and pronouncing the name Jesus. It speaks to following Jesus. The exclusive, specific person. The Word that became flesh, the Word that was with God, and the Word that was God. Now in the wrapper of humanity so that we could see Him, hear Him. What was inscribed in tablets of stone would now be inscribed into a human being for my sake and yours. Emmanuel, God with us. Name speaks of a person. When I say in the name of Jesus, I speak out of one that is in Christ and Christ is in me. One that has left my life and found new in His. Names are significant. They speak to identity, who you are. This brings such clarity to discipleship for me. Such clarity, such clear vision of what discipleship is all about. So much more than a new name, but losing my identity and finding it new in Jesus. Losing my whole identity, not just my birth name. You know, we do cute things at camp, and you get a nickname at camp, and there's been all sorts of names that have been given to kids over the years, funny names and whatever, usually because something happens, and then they get tagged with a name after that, and that's fun. But this is a little different than just getting tagged with something, getting tagged with a name. This is losing your identity, everything about you, and completely going to this identity, whatever it is. It is kind of cool at camp, though, because when you get a special name, if I don't know if you've ever been given a name like that at camp or school or whatever, you know, where you get a nickname, and you all of a sudden you start to become that identity. You identify with that a little bit, you know what I mean? And how much more does Jesus want us to identify with a new creature, the new creation that He's given in us? Not just a new name, but new eyes, new ears, a new person, new everything, a new eternity. All things become new. So losing my identity completely and finding it new in Jesus is discipleship part B, bringing people into a new identity, giving them a new name. Notice here, this isn't something that Peter did or was. This was definitely not his personality, and we wouldn't see that till after the cross. Peter's personality was not a stone. It was not stable. It was unstable in almost every way. He was very zealous, so he would do fire ready aim. You know, he would fire before he aimed, and all of these things was the nature of Peter. So what's really cool about our identity in Christ is that it's not something that we are when we come to the Lord. We come as we are, but then this identity is something that God gives us without us earning it. It is something that's given to us from the provision of the cross. It's given to us freely by the blood of the cross and paid by Jesus. It's a new identity that we step in. And we become more as we get affiliated with this name. We start to identify with this new name, this new life that we have in Jesus. We become it. Romans 8, 28, 29 talk about this a little bit. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conformed to the image of His Son, our identity is Jesus Christ. That is the identity that we have. His whole church is the body of Christ, with Jesus as the head. So we identify with that new tag, if you will, or new name, that we are the bride, we are the body of Christ. Praise God. When we come to the cross, we drop all the old and we find who we will be. We find out who we will be immediately. It is there, this new identity. I like the end of the book of John there. There's some clothes that are left neatly tied, wrapped together, neatly folded in the tomb. I always like to think that's been left for us. That's our identity, for us to put on those clothes now. His righteousness, Jesus Christ, we put on that new identity. Praise the Lord. Part C will be next week. Philip will enter the scene here. We'll talk about the following Jesus part of discipleship. The come and see a little more. We'll elaborate on that. So let's bow our heads and our hearts this morning before the throne of God.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down, come on.